starting at verse 1. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, so we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried out about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, and from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is sermon text. Connected. It's something that the world, most of the world, is pretty good at. With the invention of the internet and cellular phones, we can call just about anyone anywhere. And if you don't like or feel like taking the time to chat, or you just don't really want to talk, instant messaging is the answer. You can send a short note to someone via your phone without actually having to talk with them. For more involved communication, email seems to be the choice. The days of sending an actual paper letter, which now is referred by most to as snail mail, those days are gone. And waiting for days or even weeks to receive a letter is a thing of the past. Even important documents can be sent as an attachment, a PDF, a Word file, an Excel spreadsheet, and it comes included in your email. And does anyone even use a fax anymore? And there are many other tools available to communicate, such as Twitter, Snapchat, and many others, things the kids use today that I'm just really only vaguely aware of. And of course, Facebook has revolutionized how we interact with others, and even who we interact with. When Amy and I were planning on moving to Fort Wayne a couple years ago, I knew it would be important for us to stay connected to our family in Tennessee, including our church family. I had a Facebook account at the time, but Amy didn't. So I created an account for her, so that she would be connected and able to see pictures of the grandkids and the family back home when I was busy doing schoolwork. Even better was FaceTime, where we could video chat with them, seeing them in real time and talking with them. It was the next best thing to being there. Being connected is something that most of the world is good at. Or are we? If you do an internet search of the effects of instant messaging, you may be surprised at the negative impact that instant communication has had on society. The way we communicate has changed. Studies from all over the world suggest that it's taking a toll on our youth. They suggest that this sort of connectedness is superficial. Body language, which is so important in personal communication, is missing. Online personas or online identities may be true, or they could even be made up. and if made up, the anonymity, you know what I'm saying, can result in behavior that is risky or a lie. Short snippets of text have replaced lengthy conversations. Emoticons have replaced expressing real emotion. We have access to more people, but our connection to any one of them isn't very deep. So how does this relate to Christians, the church, stewardship? You may have guessed it's about connection, the second theme of our three-part series on stewardship. Last Sunday's theme was Christ. In him we live and have our identity and purpose. Apart from him, we are nothing. Therefore, our stewardship begins with a relationship with our Savior. Today, we're going to explore our connection with Christ and with one another and how this ties into stewardship. In your bulletin, you have an insert of the sermon text this morning. I want you to, if you already put it back away, I want you to take it out. There's a couple of additions that I want to make to the insert. So please grab a pen or a pencil, whatever you have handy to you. The very first thing that I want you to do is I want you to cross out unity in the heading and replace it with connection. Now you don't have to worry about this, that we're changing God's word or anything like that, because the headings aren't part of the inspired word of God. So cross out unity and put in connection. The next thing that I want you to do is put a bracket around verses 1 through 3 and label them label them exhortation. Exhortation is basically a message that urges or encourages action. Then add a bracket around verses 4 through 6, and I want you to label them creedal confession. Creedal confession. These verses very well could have been from the liturgy of the time or from the hymn, but it is a statement of core Christian belief. Then I want you to add a bracket around verses 7 and through 10, and this should be labeled exposition or explanation. Exposition or explanation. This section includes an Old Testament quote from Psalm 68. And then one more bracket, I want you to add a bracket around verses 11 through 16, and these should be labeled community instruction. Community instruction. This section was intended as instruction for the entire community of Christians. And finally, I want you to put a star next to verse 16. A star next to verse 16. So first, let's look at the first section, exhortation. I want you to notice how it starts and how it ends. Paul writes that he is a prisoner for the Lord. Paul is bound to the Lord, connected. And in keeping with that theme, the section ends with the bond of peace, connecting peace back to being a prisoner. Now, Paul may be in physical chains, but that's not important. What is important is that as a believer, he is bound to Christ, and these chains are not the torment you may associate with being a prisoner. These chains bring peace, the peace that comes from a deep, deep connection with your Savior. This same connection is what Paul wants for us. He urges us, he encourages us to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. His desire for us is to live appropriate to the task or responsibility that comes with being a Christian. Then he spells it out for us, that we are to live with all humility and gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, in love, eager even to maintain the unity, the connection of the Holy Spirit, all within these chains of peace. And the peace comes from the one and only place that true peace comes from the triune God. In the creedal section, Paul uses the word one seven times. We know that seven can represent completeness in the Bible, like the 7 days of creation, when God rested on the seventh day because his work of creation was complete. Coincidence? I think not. I believe that Paul, inspired by God, wanted to drive home the point that we need nothing or no one else, that our triune God is all we need, that he provides for all our needs completely. And verse 5 may be the climax or central thought of this whole section. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Isn't it simple? Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it simply beautiful? Six little words that define our connection with God. This creedal section not only defines our connection to God, but also defines the source of our power, the fuel that drives our connection with one another. For it is in and from God that we learn what love is. We reflect that love to others only because we have been loved first. That connection that God makes with us is meant not to stop with us, but to keep going. Through this conduit, we make connections with those around us, not only those who have that same connection with God, but who aren't connected in this way. This message from God that we pass to those around us, that we tell, is the gift given to us and to them. What gift? Well, the gift of grace given to us in our next section in verse 7. This gift was given to each one of us according to Christ's measure. Again, you may ask, what gift and what measure? The quote from Psalm 68 tells us, Christ descended on high. He led a host of captives. It's more prisoner talk. And he gave gifts to men. The devil had Christ nailed to the cross and executed, put an end to this nonsense of eternal salvation to all who believe in him. But we know that the tomb couldn't hold him. We know that he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, fulfilling prophecy and God's plan to give us this full gift of salvation, of eternal life, according to the final and complete sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. What a connection we have to the one who died for us, for our sins, and in our place. This is the gift we share in our message to others. And his giving didn't stop there. Our final section builds on another gift that Christ has given to us. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, all gifts given to us. Their mission is to equip us saints for the work of ministry. So what is the work of ministry and what does it include? Paul tells us, it is the work of building up the body of Christ. I count seven things listed by Paul that are the goal of the ministry. Again, the number seven for completeness. Count them with me. Unity of the faith, knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure and fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, and that we are unwavering in our doctrine, and that we speak the truth in love, with the result that in every way we grow up into Christ. This is the purpose of the connection to us and through us. We act as sort of a repeater tower for the signal that comes to us and the signal that's for us. Everything up to now has been building the foundation for what comes next. The exhortation, the creedal section, the explanation, and the instruction have all been building a connection to verse 16. Here Paul talks body language, not the body language of personal connection or personal communication that I mentioned earlier, but the body language of the church. Christ is the head, and we are the body. In this language picture, God sends us the message that we are an important and integral part of the whole. Paul uses the words whole body, every joint. These are all inclusive words that means every believer, including you, is necessary for the body to function as it should. And then there is this conditional phrase, when each part is working properly. That is our stewardship. When each part every part, your part, is working properly. When the connection to and with God is repeated to those around you, like a cell phone repeater tower, then these things are working properly, and the body is built up in love. Going back to the first verse, it is then that you are walking in a manner worthy of your calling. There is no doubt that we as individuals are gifted in special and unique ways, and that stewardship is a very personal response to God's grace and to his love. Yet at the same time, stewardship serves the community, the common connection, the one body of which we are all members. If you truly are a Christian, then you are part of the body of Christ, and you are intrinsically connected to and are a part of the other members of that one body. God has gifted each of you individually. And we function according to these gifts, but they weren't given to us so that we can keep them to ourselves or not use them or use them exclusively for our own benefit. Rather, we are given these gifts so that they would be used for God's glory, to benefit the one body of which we are all members. God has gifted you with time, talent, and treasures so that you may serve your family and those around you. But he has also gifted you so that you may serve the body of Christ, the church, that because of his undeserved kindness and through faith in Christ Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, he has graciously made you a member. Can you imagine how it would be if your legs said, "Yeah, I'm part of this body, but I'm not really interested in getting too involved. Sure, I'm good at walking, jumping, and standing, but I'm just too busy to do the things with the rest of the body." If that were the situation, your body wouldn't work very well, would it? And on a more serious note, we know what that looks like when accidents or disease or health problems hinder or take away the use of our limbs. When part of the body doesn't function, it takes a toll on the rest of the body. The same thing goes for Christ's body. The body works as God intends when all the members actually use their diverse gifts, the gifts that God has given them, to function in the one body. And because all contribute as they can, all members of the body benefit. All members and their contributions of time, talents, and treasures are important. And it's just not the most visible services that are important either. Rather, all are important, especially the things that aren't so visible or those that appear less important. It's vital that we all give and serve in order that Christ's ministry of word of sacrament continue here and elsewhere. And all functions of the body are important, such as support for our Sunday school, our outreach programs, Bible studies, the nursery, the growth of each one of us as a disciple of Jesus. I believe that many of us just don't realize that our presence in worship and in Bible study is of spiritual help and encouragement to others. Just being here is important. Even when you do what you do seems trivial, insignificant, or unnoticed, they are vitally important. We've talked before about how many people it takes to have worship happen here on a Sunday morning. I seem to remember it was around 40 people. Does that seem right? It's kind of surprising, isn't it? As the assistant pastor, I see a small glimpse of the people who work behind the scenes to make sure things get done. And most people aren't even aware of it. But you see, it doesn't matter if no one knows or sees what you do. God knows, and the body is better for it. We don't do what we do as Christians, as brothers and sisters of Christ, as members of the church and the body of Christ, to earn God's favor or achieve salvation, do we? No. Because God is already perfectly pleased with us on account of Jesus' obedient life, sacrificial death, and new life, which is ours through faith. So we don't do what we do to earn anything with God. Jesus earned it for us already. Rather, we do what we do because of who we are and whose we are. We love because he first loved us. We are connected to him and through him to those around us. We repeat his love because his love is in us. That includes not only those inside the body, but outside the body as well. We repeat God's message so they too may know the good news of grace in Jesus Christ and be saved. Above all, that means proclaiming Christ with words, declaring his life, death on the cross, resurrection from the grave, that these things are also for them. And along with this connection, the body of Christ also connects with those not yet in the body by providing aid of various sorts, wherever and whenever there is a need in our neighborhoods or in the world. Sometimes this may be as simple as giving away a few vegetables on Saturday morning, or it may be as bold as proclaiming your faith in view of the injustices in the world. Whatever your gift or your role may be, your connection to God fuels and drives your connection with others. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one message, one connection. Our stewardship theme continues next week with Celebrate, building on our life in Christ and our connection to one another. It is to be a joyful thing to share and celebrate the gifts we have been given. So let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the connection that we have with you. We ask for your strength, your courage, and your boldness as we repeat this connection to those inside and outside the church. Help us to be good stewards of the gifts entrusted to us. We pray this in your name. Amen.